Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And in this segment, now we're going to talk about the daughter of Babylon. Is it America? Is the daughter of Babylon America? If not, what is it? What does the scripture tell us? Now that's the real question. What does the scripture say about the daughter of Babylon? I recently heard, I think Rick Wiles, said it yesterday on his broadcast. He used the phrase daughter of Babylon referring to America. And then a guest that Butch Paw had on brought up the daughter of Babylon as America. Is this true or not? What does the Bible actually say about the daughter of Babylon? Well, I have this novel idea. Let's look in the Bible and see what it actually says in context where that phrase is used. Does that seem like a good idea to you? Well, it seems like a good idea to me, so I decided to do it. And so I'm going to even bring it up here, put the Bible on the screen so everyone can see it for themselves. Now, okay, here's my little search box, and I already searched for Daughter of Babylon. And so let's go ahead and let's look at that. Oh, daughter of Babylon, what we have here is five verses and five matches. So we have a phrase that is actually used or only used in the Bible five times. And once in Psalm, and it tells me at the bottom here, it says, Psalm, one verse, one match. Isaiah, one verse, one match. Jeremiah, two verses, two matches. And Zechariah, one verse, one match. So you can get this with your e-sword, you can look stuff up easily like this, and we get all of those fit on one screen there. Okay, well, let's start with match number one. Okay, we'll just do them in the order we're given here. Let me move this off the screen so we can cover these one at a time. Now, this is the Psalm one. It says, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. So, they can dish it out, but can they take it? That's the served reference there. They served it. Can they take it? Okay. Well, in context, this is a very short reference chapter here. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, still in Babylon. For there they that carried us away captive sang us a song, or required of us a song. And they that wasted us, destroyed the temple, the city, and the nation, required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing of the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning, or in other words, forget how to play my instrument. If I do not remember thee, O Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. In other words, so that I can't sing, in context here. Okay? If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, which means to destroy, even to the foundation thereof. So Edom cheered on as Babylon destroyed Jerusalem. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. As thou hast served us. In context, the daughter of Babylon here is the people of Babylon, the children of Babylon, the children of those in the land where they were held captive of the nation Babylon. So the daughter of Babylon is the people of Babylon. It's the nation itself. In context, so that's one. That's not America. Sorry. In context, it's only Babylon. When the children of Israel were held captive, they called the people of Babylon the daughter of Babylon. One. I mean, can you get something else out of this? There it is, in black and white for you. No America there. Let's keep looking. That's one of five down. The next one, our next reference, Isaiah 47:1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. So it's daughter of Babylon, daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance. I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into the darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Nations. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient thou hast very heavily laid thy yoke. What's he talking about here? He's talking about the captivity of his nation in Babylon. He was mad. He was angry with Israel. He gave them into the hands of the Babylonians as a punishment. For 70 years they were in captivity. This is not America. That's two down. Yeah, let's go. Next reference, Jerusalem 50:42. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel. They will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses, every one put in array, like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard a report of them. His hands have waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and his pangs of a woman in travail. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan into the habitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over, who is like me? And, okay, so we're kind of going off. Okay, therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord, that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes, that he has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely it shall make their habitation desolate with them. Okay. Now, again, in context, perhaps we have to go earlier. Call together the archers against Babylon. And here again, this is Jeremiah writing before the captivity of Jerusalem, and perhaps he wrote some during the captivity, because Jeremiah was not taken captive. When Nebuchadnezzar went in and took the city, destroyed the temple, and took Israel and Judah captive, he let Jeremiah go free. He recognized Jeremiah as God's prophet. Again, daughter of Babylon is not America in the context of the scripture. Call together the archers against Babylon. This is a prophecy of the destruction of Babylon, and it was destroyed. Before the 70-year captivity was out, the Medes and the Persians came in and destroyed Babylon. They were the archers. Says the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong, and he did deliver them from Babylon, as he promised 7 years later. Okay, well, see, that's Jeremiah 50. That's three down and two to go. We're still looking for America in any context where the daughter of Babylon shows up as being applicable to America. It is not in the context of any of these. I can already tell you that. But let's go through them all. Make sure I'm not missing anything. Okay. The mighty men of Babylon. Okay. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon. to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. Okay, that doesn't mean it became uninhabited forever. It just means that it became desolated. Just as Jerusalem was desolated, and God told them it would be desolated, but not forever. I mean, look, there's a nation back there in the land today. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. That's exactly what happened when the Medes and the Persians came in. They've remained in their holds. Their might has failed. They have become as women. They have burned her dwelling places, her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end, and the passages are stopped, and the reeds shall have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. So again, the daughter of Babylon is the people of Babylon in its history, in the prophecy that was to take place. Right? I mean, we are the children of America. You know? Inasmuch as they are the daughter of Babylon. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He has crushed me, has made me empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a dragon. He has filled my belly with delicates, and he has cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. So these are the children that followed Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar is dead by the time this prophecy takes place. See, and my blood... The violence done to me and in my flesh shall be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. And so there it is. That's number four. One left. Let's see if we can find America in here anywhere, as being the daughter of Babylon. People write these things and they think that they've discovered something and they just run with it. But where do these interpretations come from? If they're not getting them from the scripture, they just say things that they think sound cool or something that they can tickle itching ears with. And then people who don't know the scripture or won't do a simple search and study like this and go, this doesn't apply to America at all. This is all in reference to history. This is all specifically and explicitly prophecy that was given for the nation Israel and that has been fulfilled in ancient history. See, that's what we love about God's Word. He gives prophecy throughout history, and we see it fulfilled in the subsequent history. And we see more prophecy given and fulfilled in history. And as time moves on, history is fulfilled as time moves on. In the progress of time, history continues to be fulfilled because prophecy is history in advance. And if your method of interpretation is not being fulfilled in history, then it is likely false prophecy. And that's what dispensational futurism is, because it's all out in the future. None of it is fulfilled. They even take prophecies that have already been fulfilled in history and say, no, that's not it. It's our speculation that is right. Out in the future, it can't be verified. Well, I have prophecy that's verified and fulfilled in history, because prophecy is history in advance. And because my prophecy is being fulfilled in history, then my vision is clear. Then I can understand future prophecy better than those who all they have is speculation. And they say their speculation is true. They're so adamant that their speculation is true that you cannot know who the Antichrist is. And they will tell you over and over, oh, we can't know who the Antichrist is. Oh, you said you can't know until the rapture happens. Even like Rick Wiles is now, he's out there going, there is no rapture. Yay! Good for you, Rick. You figured something out. But you know what? A lot of people are figuring that out. And so the Antichrist, if he hears someone say, there is no rapture, but they still continue to vindicate the Antichrist and the great apostasy, guess what? The Antichrist is, and his monetary faction, because he controls the money, remember? Read the end of the book. The Antichrist controls the money and requires everyone to have a mark of buy, sell, trade. That means he controls the money now. So he's going to allow the money to go, even fund those things that will vindicate him. So if you got a lot of money coming to your false prophecy and you think, I must be doing good, God is sending me lots of money. No, if you're vindicating the Antichrist and the great apostasy, God isn't sending you the money. The Antichrist is the spirit of this age. The prince of the power of the air is allowing his money to come your way, and you should be very afraid. Mystery Babylon is not America. Mystery Babylon is the great whore church. If you really want to know what Mystery Babylon is, there's a picture of it in the Bible. See, we've got to go back to our Bible to get our interpretations. Okay? That's where we want to go. In chapter 2 of the Revelation, okay, if you have something and it has a head, everyone knows it by its head, right? You see me walking around, you see this head on my body. You say, oh, that's Nicholas. Because it's Nicholas's head, right? Yeah. So if you go to chapter 2 of Daniel, let's go there. Okay, you can go there yourself. Chapter 2 of Daniel. Now, if you don't understand chapter 2 of Daniel, you understand nothing at all about prophecy. Because Daniel chapter 2 gives us a template. Because it covers all of the history of the governments of the world dominating powers, starting with Babylon. It puts Babylon at the head. And then as you go down the image, this is the image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of, and God gave Daniel the interpretation and the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? And this is the mystery Babylon image. This image, this dream, this template is Mystery Babylon. This is it. It is Mystery Babylon. Now it changes from the head as you move down towards the feet and the 10 toes. You're going down through history to today. Babylon was then about 600 BC. The head. And then we just read about the daughter of Babylon, the fall of Babylon, before the 70 years desolation or captivity was ended. Babylon was invaded by the Medo-Persian Empire. That was the next portion of that image, of the Mystery Babylon image. And it goes down through history until Christ returns, and the symbol for Christ returning explicitly. Because not only do we get the dream image, the prophecy itself, but in the same chapter, God gives the interpretation of it. You can't go wrong. This is what I call a divine interpretation of prophecy. And there are several. There are a few more, probably 7 or 8 divine interpretations of prophecy given in the scripture. And they are all the key to understanding all of prophecy. If you understand the divine interpretations where God gives a prophecy, and in that prophecy, he gives an interpretation. Those are your keys to, what do we call them? Keys. The key to the apocalypse. It has, there's seven divine interpretations by which you understand the apocalypse. But also Daniel chapter 2 is another key to understanding prophecy. Might have to update this book and call it the key. Well, it is the key to the apocalypse, and it's one of the keys to the apocalypse, to understanding apocalyptic prophecy, is understanding the mystery Babylon image. And once you understand it completely, and you see all of the history that has been fulfilled in it, you realize we are down there in the 10 toes and the feet of iron mingled with clay. That's our position now. And then we have additional information in chapter 13 of the Revelation, because another beast, the seventh king beast, seventh and final king beast, rises up, and it's called the earth beast, the two-horned earth beast. Has two horns, like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. And it is America. And that's also, you can read about that in this little book here, and you can read about it for free, you know. Okay, well, let's see. Yeah, Daniel chapter 2. And, you know, go through it for yourself, read it for yourself, and if you want some more information on that, well, like I said, you can read about that in my other book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's my 2014 book. And you can get some understanding there. Also, you have resources like The Last Prophecy, which is an abridgment of E.B. Eliot's great work, The Hoary Apocalypticae. I believe it's $10.99 or $12.99 for 320 pages pocketbook edition, also available at my website with this one. So look for those pocketbook editions if you want something that's inexpensive and you want those. Also, we have other resources available. History Unveiling Prophecy by H. Grattan Guinness, available at my website, an revised edition, because he only lived and he wrote this about the turn of the century, not the turn of 120 years ago he wrote this. So that was then, and a lot has happened since then. So I've updated into what I call the Reformation Quincentennial Edition. Okay? True prophecy, that's what we're all about here. Now, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about in the next two segments of this broadcast. I came here with two topics. So I'm hoping maybe I can get some calls, some comments, some questions in the chat room. And if you want to call, you can go to the chat room page there or firstamendmentradio.com homepage, and you can find the phone number in the upper right-hand or left-hand corner of those pages. So do that, and maybe I'll have something to talk about in the next hour. If not, you know, I'll just have to pray the Almighty and His Holy Spirit fill me up and let it overflow and see what happens. That's all I got. And so if you can't call in, maybe say a little prayer for me that God will give me, fill me with His Spirit and give me a message for the next hour of this broadcast. God knows I got enough word and study in here that who knows what can come out. But as long as it's in compliance with God's word, that's all we care about. That it is the true gospel message and a true historical understanding of prophecy. The historicist method, that is, prophecy is history in advance. And as time advances, we see prophecy being fulfilled in history. And if your method of interpretation is not being fulfilled in history, you have better toss it out and get some of these resources so you can understand what's really going on and how to interpret prophecy by the Bible itself. That's it. History. His story. Okay, we'll be back after some news and a short break here. May the Almighty bless you and keep you until I see you again. Thank you.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.